You may take your seats. Good morning and Happy New Year. Happy New Year. It's the first I've had a chance to say that to you all. So good morning and Happy New Year to you all. Thank you also to the praise band for leading us in worship this morning. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. We are so blessed. Well, Pastor Hugh kicked off last week with our vision focus for the year. We're going to look at evangelism this year, and we're going to develop that, and we're going to explore that this year. We will never be ashamed of the gospel, amen. Yeah, one amen. We'll say it again. We will not be ashamed of the gospel. Amen, amen. Amen. Can I take you back 2 weeks ago, though, when Pastor Hugh was preaching? And he said this: we are not going to be a people who live in fear. No. He quoted the lyric from the song Ain't No Grave, that fear is a liar with a smooth and velvet tongue. And well, church, I have to agree. We are not going to be a people that live in fear, that are led by panic, that are crippled with anxiety. I'm sure you've heard it said that we are living in a world today where there is a real mental health crisis. Sadly, many people in our world today living in fear. So let's get a bit honest now. Raise your hand if you've ever been afraid, if you've ever experienced fear or panic or anxiety. It's not nice. Fear is debilitating. It stops you in your tracks. It robs you of your peace. It prevents you from living freely, which is what Pastor Hugh was preaching on 2 weeks ago. He mentioned Galatians 5. He shouted it out today during worship. For it is for freedom that Christ Jesus died for us. So do not let yourself be burdened by a yoke of slavery. You see, that's what fear and panic does. It holds us captive. But here's the good news. Jesus died to set you free. Jesus died to lead you out of captivity. Jeremiah 29, verse 14. I will be found by you, and you, I will lead you out of captivity. If you are in Christ, you are no longer a slave to sin. If you're in Christ, you're no longer a slave to fear either. So I pondered this in this new year, and I felt like the Lord was saying that we as a body of believers, we need to choose a different way. We need to choose a different way from the world around us, that we don't need to accept the lies from the enemy taunting us with fear, crippled with panic and anxiety, that we can claim our sound mind. The battle with fear in particular takes place in here. You've heard it said before, the battlefield of the mind. Many books written about it, many preachers preached on it. And I think the Apostle Paul, well, I think he knew a thing or two about it, because he wrote quite a few verses about fear and panic. There's this passage in Romans where he talks about trying to do what he wants to do, ending up doing what's wrong, wanting to do what's right, ending up falling. And he's talking in this passage about the battle that we have with sin. And it wasn't a way back then, but it's also here today. There's a battle with sin in our world today. But what stood out to me in this passage of Romans 7 was verse 23. Let me read it to you now. He says, there is another power within me that is at war with my mind. The power makes me a slave to sin that is still within me. So this battle with our mind, this mental health battle, it's not a new thing. Even the Apostle Paul, who wrote the majority of the large chunk of the New Testament, he knew all about this struggle that we have in the mind, battling with fearful, anxious thoughts. So today, church, I want to look at this subject again. I want to look in particular today at the subject of anxiety. Now, ladies, I know that we really recently looked at this at our Women to Women worship day. But the Lord has nudged me again to open up this topic. So you may need to hear it again today. But this is not just a message for the women. There's a message of freedom in here for all, young and old, and in particular, our brothers today, for the men in the house today. In fact, I know of one man, I believe, in the house today. I believe that the Lord has laid you upon my heart this week, that you in particular are battling with stress, work-related stress. I don't know who you are, but the Lord does. So we're going to look at that today. So let's pray. Father God, as we come before your throne of grace and mercy this morning, we invite your Holy Spirit to come now. We welcome you, Holy Spirit, and we give you full permission to come and speak to our hearts and our minds today. Lord, I believe this is fertile ground that we're standing on today, and I pray that, Lord God, by your Spirit, that you will plant good seed in the soils of our hearts and within our minds today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So let's look at anxiety. A few statistics for you. Over 8 million people are experiencing an anxiety disorder at one time. That's according to Mental Health UK. 2022-2023, an average of 37.1 females and 29.9% of men reported high levels of anxiety. I'm almost certain that someone here at some point in their life will have experienced the peace robber, as I call him, anxiety. And if you haven't experienced it yourself, according to these statistics, I'm sure you know somebody who has experienced it. The dictionary definition of anxiety is this: it's a feeling of worry, panic, nervousness, worried over an uncertain outcome. It's apprehension, it's fear, it's tension, it's restlessness. The symptoms varying: excessive worry, sleep disturbance, insomnia, panic attacks, sickness in the tummy, digestion problems. Your stomach, your tummy is literally on fire because of stress. Muscle tension, breathing, heart racing, sweaty palms, and headaches, according to the National Health Service. It's not a one-size-fits-all. There are varying degrees. You may suffer it once and never again. Or you may be here today, and this is what you've been battling with every single day for a while. And it can also lead to other conditions such as agoraphobia, not wanting to leave the house, not wanting to engage in social situations, depression. There's no clear-cut evidence to suggest this is why people suffer, but there are many reasons why people may suffer from stress and anxiety in the world today. Just look at the world that we live in. Financial pressures, cost of living crisis, wars, rumors of wars, terrorism, fear over illnesses, the pandemic, aging population, looking after elderly loved ones, relationship issues, increased divorce rates, social media, the pressures to conform, to look the part and stay in the game. Just a few reasons why someone may suffer from anxiety today. I heard one preacher suggest that we as a people are the most intelligent there has ever been, the most knowledgeable, and yet we're the most fearful, apparently. Why? Well, in all that intelligence, I believe that there are people wandering around the earth today, wandering our planet today, and they do not have a clue who they are. Young people in particular, confused about who they are. That's another crisis. That's the identity crisis that's causing people to be fearful and anxious because they don't know who they are. They don't know who they belong to, that they're really a child of God's. And they're not walking in their identity. We're the most intelligent people there ever was, and we're also the most connected people, and yet we're the most loneliest of all time. So there are many reasons why people are afraid today. And can I just say that the enemy, Satan, the liar, the accuser of the brethren, this is his playground. I believe that the enemy is using the chaos of this world to terrorize you. He's using it to terrorize you. It's a sport to him. But I want to expose the lies of the enemy today. For anyone who is here, who is a child of God, you are free. Who the Son sets free is free indeed. And you cannot be bound to anything else, dear one, if you're bound to Christ. You cannot be held captive to anyone else if your heart is captivated by the Lord. There is freedom in his name. There is freedom in knowing him. There's freedom in loving him. There is freedom in living for him. So there are scientists and doctors and therapists and counselors working incredibly hard today, very hard, looking for new medicines, new techniques, forms of treatment and therapy to help people in this fight against depression, anxiety, fear, and panic. And let me tell you something, I pray for these health professionals every day. It's hard out there. But can I make a suggestion, another suggestion today, along with all the help that we get from our doctors, therapists, scientists, there is also another helper. There is actually a way to peace, and his name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. He is the answer. He is the peace giver. He walked into a room filled with grief, stricken, frightened, afraid, fearful disciples that were so afraid they locked the door and they hid in that room. And Jesus walked into that room and he spoke these words. Peace, I leave with you. My peace, I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. He showed up in the midst of their pain, in the midst of their worry, in the midst of their panic and anxiety, and he spoke peace. He offered peace. John 16, verse 33, he says it again, in me you may have peace. I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you'll have trouble. Take heart. I have overcome the world. He doesn't say that we won't have trouble. He doesn't say or promises that there won't be famines and wars. He doesn't say that you won't experience fear. But he says, take courage. So that means take heart. Take courage, dear one, because I've overcome the world. Do not be afraid. Did you notice there in that verse that Jesus doesn't actually promise his peace? He offers it. He says that in me, you may have peace. You may have it. You see, people may follow Jesus, profess that they are a born again believer, but they do not live in his peace. You may believe in Jesus. You may be here this morning and you've put your faith and trust in Jesus, but you do not have peace. Jesus is the way to peace. So let me tell you right now, what's on offer today? What's on offer from the throne room of heaven today is his peace. That's what he's offering. That's what's being released to the church today. We gain that peace that Jesus is offering by finding it in him. Jesus said, in me you may have peace. You won't find it out there. You won't find it in a self-help book. You'll find it in Jesus. And he says it again. He returns a week later to the disciples. Again, they're still locked in that room. Sometimes it takes a few times for us to get it. It's in the room. And I believe that he shows up just for Thomas. You see, Thomas was doubting. He couldn't grasp the fact that Jesus was alive. He was scared like the rest of them. And he shows up this time. Again, he's like, look, guys, I'm here again. I'm standing right in front of you again. And he says the same to you today. And I am offering you a way out of that fear and that anxiety and that crippling worry. I am the answer, he says. Well, it says a week later, his disciples were in the house again. Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and he stood among them and he said, peace be with you. Peace be with you. And he walks into this room today. This room filled with your worries. This room filled with your fears, your nightmares, those things that are keeping you awake at night, those anxieties and panics and troubles. And he says the same to you. Peace to you. Peace be with you. Turn to the person beside you and say, peace be with you. Turn to the person at the other side. Bless them with peace. Peace be with you. That's my Episcopal upbringing coming out of me there, Pastor. So anxiety, it's real. Sadly, it's a real thing. And there are many reasons why you might be afraid. Some I've mentioned already. Maybe others, such as maybe you're worrying over your health. Maybe you're scared about your health. You're worried about getting older. You have a fear of change, a fear of dying, a fear of loneliness. I don't know what it is that is causing you panic, but the peacemaker does. And he died to set you free. Now, another aspect of dealing with anxiety that I'd like to mention, and another raw emotion that seems to surface alongside panic and fear and anxiety, and I see this all the time in a pastoral counseling situation, and there's another raw emotion that quite often tags itself along with anxiety, and that is shame. Anyone here, a Christian? Any Christians in the house? Means you believe that Jesus died to set you free. Well, maybe you here as a Christian this morning, you've maybe suffered with anxiety and you've shared with another Christian, another believer over the years that, do you know what? I'm struggling right now. I've got anxiety. And their response to you has been this. You're a Christian. You shouldn't worry. You're a Christian. You shouldn't suffer from anxiety. Or maybe someone said to you, you're a Christian. Don't be ridiculous. The Bible says, be anxious for nothing. And it does. And we'll look at that next week. But that kind of response doesn't help you. It doesn't help you in that moment if you're consumed with fear and panic. Because you know what happens? That just causes you shame. That just causes disappointment. As I said, the Bible does say, be anxious for nothing. We will look at that. However, it doesn't mean that you will never experience fear. It doesn't mean that some days you'll get scared. It doesn't mean that sometimes things will happen in your life that are scary. If you're battling with anxiety today, if you're struggling with panic, if you have fearful thoughts right now, can I tell you that you have nothing to be ashamed of? That this is a safe space that the Holy Spirit has provided for you this morning, a safe space where you can heal. I'm sure you've heard it said before that church is not a place full of people that have got it all together, because let me tell you something, I don't have it together all the time. Church is a hospital filled with people that are going through stuff. So don't be ashamed. It's another attempt of the enemy to rob you of your peace and to steal your sound mind. You're not only are you suffering from anxiety, but you have to live in silence with it. You have not to share it with anyone out of fear that they may say to you, oh, you shouldn't feel that way. It's a lie of the enemy. Now, what I'm not saying, please don't misquote me, is that it's okay to continue to suffer. That's not okay. But it's okay to admit that you're struggling. There is a way to peace, dear one. When you realize that God loves you so much. He loved you so much that he sent his precious son to die for you, to demonstrate his great love for you. If you believe that and if you've received that, then Jesus is your Lord and that you now have peace with God. And once you become that new creation, you enter into a lifelong relationship with Jesus. And you live in the presence of his peace. The opposite is true, and I'm sure you know this, on times when you've walked away, you've wandered out of his presence, what happens? Immediately we lose our peace. Immediately we lose our peace. And for me, do you know what sets in? anxiety and stress and worry. You know what I'm talking about. You're here in church on a Sunday. You're worshiping Jesus. All your problems, your fears in that moment seem minimal. But then Wednesday hits. It's a bad day at the office. You have an argument with one of your family members. You haven't opened your Bible since Sunday. What happens in those moments? Fear sets in. We lose our peace. We become what we call it, woman to woman, unglued. We start to say things that we later regret because, let's be honest, once it's out, you can't put it back in again. We've lost our peace. I'm sure you can testify to times where you've wandered off and you've lost your peace. We took our eyes off of the peace giver. So that's where we're going to go now. We're going to look at how important it is to keep our eyes fixed on the peace giver. So I want to share a well-known story that we as the women of this church looked at back in September. And this is the story where Jesus turns up unexpectedly at the house of two sisters, Martha and Mary. And he doesn't turn up on his own. He brings his pals with him as well. And he throws the house into panic as the two ladies have to find out what they've got to serve him. Let's read it now. It should come up on the screen. Luke's Gospel, chapter 10. And I'm going to read it in the English Standard Version. Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. One thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken from her." May God bless the reading. This is, of course, the story of the two sisters, Martha and Mary. And, well, maybe you can sympathize with the panic that's set in for the two ladies as Jesus turns up at the door. I'm sure we've all experienced that panic when an unexpected guest turns up and you're looking through the cupboards and all you've got is a custard cream. Sometimes you might not even have a custard cream. And you can imagine the door goes and there's Jesus and he's standing there with all his mates. Now you're maybe thinking that's an extraordinary thing to happen, but it's not really. You see, Jesus was a good friend of Martha and Mary and Lazarus. And well, he had often visited them at Bethany. However, I'm sure it would have got old Martha and Mary's heart racing when they're standing there and they're thinking, what have I got to serve them? So let's look at the sisters, shall we? What do we know about them? Well, not too much. I always joke at Women to Women, Pastor, that of course it's written by a man, because as women, we want to know all the details. We're a bit nosy. We want to know, you know, did they wake up in a bad mood? You know, was it a bad hair day? Had she had enough sleep? Did she have an upset tummy? You know, what's going on here? Well, we don't really know, but Luke records exactly just what we need to know. Praise God. We don't need to be nosy. So the first thing we read there is that Martha welcomed Jesus. So we know exactly how she feels. She's delighted that Jesus is there. She welcomes him. We can see straight away her spiritual gifts. They lie in hospitality. That's one of the spiritual gifts. And she's happy to see him. And she welcomes him. His visit may well have been unexpected, but the girls wanted him there. The passage tells us that Martha gets to work being busy and all the serving. Perhaps she was the one rummaging through the cupboards looking for the custard creams. So we read in the story that Martha's doing all the serving. She's busying herself with all the work. Well, her sister Mary, what's she doing? Well, she's sitting at the master's feet. She's in the position of a student before the rabbi, listening to his teachings. Now, we read this and we think to ourselves, well, you can't blame Martha for getting a wee bit annoyed. I mean, she's doing all the work, is she not? There's Mary lying out on the carpet or the rug. just listening to Jesus, enjoying herself. But let me read it to you in the New King James. It says in verse 39 in the New King James that Martha had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Did you catch that? Who also. So yes, she sat at the master's feet, but she also served. She didn't sit there the whole time. If you read it in the New King James, she did both. She was happy that he was there. She welcomed him also. It's not that she didn't lift a finger, but when the choice was made, she made the choice to sit at the master's feet. When the time was right, she chose, as Jesus goes on to say, what was right. You see, I've read this so many times, and I read it afresh last year, and there was something that stood out to me, church. It doesn't say it in the passage, but there's something that stood out to me here, and it's one word, and the word is balance. Everybody say balance. Balance. Our life needs balance. Having balance in our lives is going to improve our well-being and our mental health. It will allow us to do the chores. It will allow us to go to work and do everything that we need to do, whilst also making important time and space for quality time with Jesus. Private discipline, prayer, praise, journaling, reading your Bible, fasting, meditating, soaking, it's all private discipline. We've already said that when we walk with God, we receive his peace. We're walking in his peace. But when you step out of that, you lose your peace. So what is it that is taking away your precious moment of being with Jesus? Because when we wander away from that, that's when stress sets in. That's when worry sets in. That's when panic and fear overtakes us, because we've taken our eyes off of the peace giver. And we're doing too much of one thing and not enough of sitting at Jesus' feet. Could be excessive working hours. Maybe you need to have a look at that. Maybe you're spending too much time in one particular thing or person. You know what it is. And when we're out of balance, church, we get stressed and anxiety sets in. So Mary, she chose to serve, yes, but she also chose to be with Jesus. What position will you take up this morning? Martha sadly got distracted. She got worked up. She got stressed out. Now let me just say, there's nothing wrong with serving. Nothing wrong with working. The Lord has gifted you to serve. He's gifted you to work. But there's no point in serving and working if you do not spend time with the gift giver. He's the one that's going to supply you with the strength, the joy, and the hope that you need to keep on going. Jesus says, I am the vine, John 15. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So true, isn't it? We can do nothing without him. He's saying, stick with me. Hang about with me. Spend time with me and you will produce good fruit. We wander off, we'll immediately start to lose our peace. Here, Martha was operating in her own strength. And I don't know about you, but when I do this, and I do it sometimes, when I do this, I very quickly hit a wall. It's led to something called burnout. And quite often when we feel like this, we become what I've already shared, as we call it, a woman to woman unglued. We start to be led by our emotions rather than the Spirit of God. We become tired in doing good. We become weary in doing good. We then start to resent other people. The anxiety is ruling us. The raw emotions are controlling us. We start to compare ourselves to other people. Look at her. Look at him. Why is he doing that? Why is she doing that? They shouldn't be doing that. She shouldn't be doing that. We become consumed with a critical spirit. Anxiety takes hold, and all we can see and all we can hear is fear. And that's exactly what happened to Martha. Martha was serving in her own strength, albeit for a good reason. The ministry that you're involved in, it's a great ministry. It's a wonderful, harvest field. But remember, there's no point in serving in that ministry if you're not going to spend time with the person who's equipped you for it. You see, Martha really wanted to be a good host. She loved Jesus. She loved Jesus with all of her heart, but she got too busy. Anxiety set in. She became preoccupied with everything else that she forgot. What was most important? Jesus. Spending time with Jesus. And she lost her peace. And look what happens. She becomes overwhelmed. She becomes unglued. She becomes led by her emotions. How do we know it? Because she loses it. And guess what? She loses it with Jesus. Come on. She loses it big time. She doesn't tiptoe over to him. Excuse me, Master. I hope you don't mind me interrupting the teaching, but any chance you could you get Mary to help me in the kitchen? Oh, no. Oh, no, no, no. She marches right over there to Jesus in front of everyone. Do you not care? Do you not care? Tell her. Get her told, Jesus. I remember that. Two wee girls fighting over a dolly. Mummy, mummy, mummy. She's naughty. Tell her off, mummy. It was her. She lost it. With Jesus, she has become unglued. She is led by fear and panic and worry. We know she's completely lost it. We know that she's not in her sound mind because she thinks it's okay to speak to Jesus like this. She thinks it's okay to tell Jesus what to do. She's completely out of her mind. That's what anxiety does. That's what happens when we're led by fear. We end up saying things and doing things that we later regret. And as I've said it already, it's like the toothpaste tube. Once it's out, you can't put it back in again. We're not to be led by our raw emotions, church. We're not to be led by a spirit of fear, anxiety, and panic. You know the scripture, 2 Timothy, for the Lord has not given us a spirit of fear, but power. Power over that anxiety. Love, his perfect love, casts out all fear. And he's given us, in certain translations it says, a sound mind. So claim your sound mind today in Jesus' name. You can have the mind of Christ. Martha in this moment was not led by the Holy Spirit. She lost it. The anxiety within her burst, spilled out everywhere. I wonder if you've ever been in a situation like that, led by fear. How does Jesus respond? Well, I love Jesus. He says, Martha, Martha, you're anxious and you're troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. You can almost hear his tenderness, can't you? And his love and his gentleness. Gabriella, Gabriella, Gail, Gail. Stephen, give me your Sunday name, Stephen. There's the tenderness of the Lord that just calms us right down in those moments when we're absolutely losing our minds. So he tells her, you're anxious. He points out the issue. And did you notice he says to her, you're anxious about many things. All those, that list, that long list I mentioned at the beginning of why people might be anxious today. There's a whole host of them. But he says to her, you're anxious about many things. But here's the way, here's the answer, here's the remedy, here's the teaching point for us this morning. He says there is another way, which is why I believe the Lord is calling us as a congregation, as a people, as individuals, as families, to not live as the world out there and have minds the same as the world out there, because there is another way. And it reminds me of the psalmist in Psalm 27, verse 4, when he writes, there's one thing have I desired of the Lord. This is what we need to do. That I will seek him, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temples. One thing that is needed here. Mary chose that one thing. She chose to sit at the feet of Jesus. She chose to take a conscious Selah rest. And you know what? In all three times that Mary is mentioned in the New Testament of the Bible, that's exactly where you find Mary. She's at the feet of Jesus, here in this passage in her home, at the death of her brother, Lazarus. She's at his feet. And she's also at his feet when she pours oil, perfume, to anoint him. Church, we don't need to live like this world. Instead, we can choose, like Mary, to get the balance right. The balance between serving and soaking. The balance between working and worshiping. If Martha had only spent more time at the feet of Jesus, perhaps she wouldn't have got unglued. If Martha had only chosen to prioritize Jesus, perhaps she wouldn't have been so afraid and filled with anxiety. So we've come to the end. Now the band can make their way back. What's God speaking to us this morning? Well, I believe that the Lord is saying that he does not want us to be a people led by fear. Are you here this morning and you've been struggling with anxiety, fear, panic, worry, excessive worry? Are you here this morning and you're so fed up with the constant panic attacks, the racing thoughts, the banging in your chest? Are you here this morning and you're exhausted, fighting with your thoughts and your mind that are terrorizing you and keeping you awake at night? Well, let me encourage you today, dear one. Don't be ashamed, because the Lord is here and he loves you. And his desire is to set you free. He is offering you today his peace. So let me ask you something. Will you receive it? Will you receive his peace that is an offer for you today, so that when you leave this place today, that you're no longer battling with that scary thought or that scary feeling, but that you've handed it over to the Master, that you've came and you've sat at his feet and you've made him the priority in your heart and of your mind. Gabriella and the band are going to lead us in a song. I can't respond to the Lord for you. I can only deliver the message. But can I encourage you this morning? Don't leave here without receiving his peace. If you want to do that by coming and kneeling at the altar while we sing this song, don't let fear keep you in your seat. Come to the altar, kneel down. We won't bother you. If you're kneeling down, we'll just let you sit there and take your moment to sit at the feet of Jesus symbolically. Or maybe you're here this morning and you do want to be released from fear and panic and anxiety and worry. That gentleman that I spoke about today, don't leave here. If you're battling with stress-related work issues, don't leave here without receiving prayer. And if you want prayer, just come to the front. Somebody will pray for you. But respond to God. He's offering you his peace. Let's stand together. Father God, we thank you for your presence. We thank you that your presence changes everything. We thank you, Lord God, that we can be certain this morning that you are here and you are moving among us by your Spirit. We thank you, Father God, for your words. May it not return void, but may it accomplish right now everything that you wanted and you desired it to accomplish this morning. It's your word for your people today, Lord God. So I pray, Father God, as we take this time to respond, I pray, Father God, that you would bless your people now with courage to let go, to come, to sit at your feet, to release their fears, their worries, their anxieties, the things that are currently holding them captive. And I pray today that they would be found by you and that you would lead them out of that place of captivity into your peace. In Jesus' name, amen.